There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Just for boys.
And it's been a while since that drill's been out, I'll tell you. But here it is again to put a few shells and welcome along Rob Chilton from Edgar Magazine.
Hello, good afternoon.
How are you, sir?
I am extremely well, thank you very much. The issue... latest issue of Edgar has gone to press, which is always a golden day, because it means I have a massive sigh of relief.
Do you really? Is it a lot of pressure, you know, getting everything? Because you're the editor-in-chief, aren't you?
Right, so everything, just, you know that everything's building towards one day when it all has to go to the printers. So if it's not ready, you can't send a magazine to press with a blank page. So everything has to be ready. So there is a natural sort of tension as it gets closer and closer and closer. But it's all done, so.
What about deadlines? What if someone, you know, is 10 minutes late to a deadline or something like that? Do they say, mm-mm? Too bad.
10 minutes I can handle. Okay. I'm flexible enough to handle 10 minutes. 10 days, we've got a problem.
Now, the good thing is, or the lucky thing is, we've got a little sneak peek of your December issue. Now, I know last month we had Mr. Gallagher, Liam Gallagher, on the front cover.
Correct.
Who have we got this month?
So, December edition of Edgar is Oscar Isaac.
Yay!
Who... I've since come to realise in the last few weeks, is a massive hit with women.
Oh, yes.
I mean, I think he's a brilliant actor, full stop. And now I'm realising that he is much lusted after.
What do women find attractive in him?
Well, for me, it was his leather jacket in Star Wars. That sold it for me, yeah.
I've got a leather jacket, you know, and I'm sure Rob's got a leather jacket.
No, it was just him. You know, he takes off his leather jacket, gives it to Finn, who's the other character. Yeah. And yeah, I just love him. I love his acting. Love him.
And also, he's great at what he does. Yeah. You know, like first and foremost, he was in Drive. He was in A Most Violent Year. He was in Ex Machina. Or Ex Machina, however you pronounce it, which I think maybe is the film that really made people sit up and notice him. But then, of course, he was the hero pilot in the first Star Wars, well, the most recent Star Wars movie.
Seven.
And he's coming up in, so it's number 8 then, right? Last Jedi, coming up at Diff in a couple of weeks' time. It'll be the big closing red carpet VIP gala movie. And he's in it, again, Oscar Isaac. So he's a cool guy. I like him.
Give us a little snippet of what he spoke about, just a little.
Well, you know what? There's one little detail that I liked, which is that he... you know how a lot of movie stars obviously are based in California?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But some, just a few, choose to stay on the East Coast in New York because they want to do theatre, or that's where they're from, or that's just where they feel more comfortable. And this guy, Oscar Isaac, he still lives in Brooklyn, in the apartment where he lived before he, you know, got into films. So he's been there about 10 years or so. And he still lives there, even though he's now in Star Wars. And he was in X-Men, for goodness sake. Like, he was in a huge blockbuster, or two huge blockbuster movies now. But he still chooses to live in his, I've heard, it's a one-bedroom apartment in Williamsburg in Brooklyn. So he's, you know, he's keeping it real to his roots before he made the big bucks, before he got famous. So I like that.
And, of course, this film that we're talking about is going to be closing off this year's Dubai International Film Festival, which...
What a coup to get that. It's great.
I know. It's Diff, of course, we're going to be broadcasting there live again. That's just around the corner.
Yeah, we've got a big preview of Diff in the current issue, actually. And I'm pleased Star Wars is at Diff, because sometimes the film festivals, you know, not just Diff, but all around the world, have a reputation for being quite highbrow and a bit snobby. But isn't it great that Diff has a proper... you know, sort of box office blockbuster. To close their festival. So I think that's a really good thing. But there's so many great movies coming to Diff. There's one that I'm really excited about is Darkest Hour, which is the Winston Churchill movie starring Gary Oldman. So we have a story on that, and it's really fascinating. Gary Oldman said he spent about 200 hours in total over the, I think it was a 4 or 5 week shoot, in the makeup chair. To get the face and the prosthetics and the body suit, you know, to make him bigger.
Wow.
And they made a face mask for him that they only left his forehead and his lips open so that he was able to show expression and speak, obviously, and, you know, give across the emotion of the role. So I'm very excited about Darkest Hour. I'm very excited about a movie called Sweet Country, which is an Australian sort of outback murder story from the 1920s, which sounds really good. And Killing of a Sacred Deer. I'm not sure if I'm... I might be too scared to go and watch this. This is the Colin Farrell and Nicole Kidman.
Yes.
Have you seen the trailer for
yes,
that?
Yes, I have seen the trailer. Word. And we spoke about it with William as well on the film.
Oh, yeah.
It looks pretty scary,
it's
doesn't
it? It's eerie. It's not a jumpy, fright, shocky kind of movie. It's just one of those ones that sort of creeps into your mind and just sits there.
And those are the most frightening guys.
Yeah, totally.
I would suggest you go watch Borg and McEnroe. I think that will be a good one.
That's coming up too, right? Yeah. Shia LaBeouf.
Yes.
As the Mac. Yeah, I'm curious about that one. And also The Square, which has Elizabeth Moss from Mad Men in it, who I like very much. And that is a comedy satire all about the modern art business, which, you know, a lot of people think is a load of old rubbish. But so this satire, and it's all set in Sweden, I believe. Mm. So I quite like the sound of that one as well. There's a lot of good stuff. You have to get your tickets in pretty sharpish, I would say.
Just for boys.
And Rob Chilton joins us once again, just for boys, with his drills and his tools. And you've just been travelling, Rob, to a very quaint city.
Yeah, Copenhagen. Went to a friend's wedding there for a few days. So it was a nice long weekend. Pretty chilly that time of year. All the Dubai people that went to the wedding for weeks before, we were all just so excited about wearing warm coats, you know, and scarves and gloves. Yeah. Everyone was digging through their wardrobes in the back of the, trying to find the coats and stuff. And
were they needed?
They were needed. Yes, they were. Mark. Yeah, it didn't snow, but there was a bit of rain, and it was cold. And you know what I've forgotten about Europe is that the sun sets in Copenhagen at 3:45 in the afternoon every day, and that is just a major shock to the system coming from Dubai, where although we only get a few more hours of sunshine than that, it does really kind of hit your mood, you know, when you wake up and it's grey, all day it's grey, and then it's black at about 4 p.m.
Yeah, I mean, just yesterday, I think, we were walking out at about 5:30 and it was dark. I mean, it was starting to get dark. And we were quite surprised, like Steph and we thought, oh, that's dark quite quickly.
Yeah, it's winter.
Yeah, but imagine being at 3 p.m. standing outside and the sun's gone.
And it's gone. It's weird, isn't it?
So what did you get up to? Did you do any touristy stuff? Or?
We did a little bit. I mean, it was a packed social schedule because of the wedding. Right. You know, there was lots of dinners and drinks and lunches and brunches and all that kind of stuff. But we had basically, it's a good walking city. So lots of cobbled streets, lots of parks, loads and loads of little indie boutiques and coffee shops and all that sort of thing. So it's a kind of place where you just stop off here, stop off there, and then you go and look at some amazing Scandinavian design shop. You know, it has mugs and posters and all this sort of stuff. And then you carry on and there's a shop filled with minimalist light fittings and sculptures. So it's, you know, there's loads to see and do. You don't really see any chain stores on the streets. You know, it's all pretty independent. Loads of bikes. Obviously.
Oh, nice.
Copenhagen loves bicycles. And I always think that a city that, you know, has a lot of bicycles, that always means pretty much it generates a really calm atmosphere. You know, there's not too much traffic, and it just makes people
respectful on the
road. Yeah, there's more respect, absolutely. And obviously people are a little bit healthier, and it's just nice seeing people whiz around on bicycles. You know, it just adds a nice atmosphere to a city. So that was pretty impressive.
I would imagine it's nice coming up to Christmas there as well.
Yeah, we didn't hear any Christmas music. If there was one tiny glitch, didn't hear any Christmas tunes.
Wow.
Maybe the Copenhagen, the Danish lot don't like Christmas music, but there was Christmas trees. Our hotel had a huge Christmas tree in the lobby and massive baubles hanging down as kind of sculptures from the roof. We stayed in the Latin Quarter.
Right.
I didn't know Copenhagen had a Latin Quarter. And it's right opposite the old University of Copenhagen, which is a very beautiful building. Not a university anymore, but just really the structure still stands. And the hotel we stayed in was called the St. Petri or St. Peter. And it reopened just a few months ago, well, refurbished rather a few months ago. And it used to be a department store that opened in 1928.
Ooh.
So it's got a little bit of that, that Art Deco going on the floors. You know, those tile floors remain, so you see that. And you go through the revolving door, and then you got the escalators to the lobby. And you think, oh, yeah, you kind of see how it could have been a department store with a shape. It's got a beautiful open terrace courtyard area. Everything in there is designed to perfection. You know, it's not just one of those boring beige hotels. They've got these sofas in the lobby that are bright, like pea green.
Oh,
amazing green colour, you know. And then they've got a chair next to it that is navy blue. You know, like real clashing colours, great architecture, great sort of accessories, really cool hotel. So if you ever get a chance to stay there, I recommend it a lot. It was we paid about 1,800 dirhams for a couple of nights there, so quite pricey. But it's, you know, it's in the centre of town. You can walk everywhere from there. go down to the meatpacking district, which is where...
I thought that was in New York.
Yeah. I think everyone's got one now. I think New York's was so successful, I think every other city thought, we should have a meatpacking district.
Right.
And there's loads of bars and restaurants down there, so you could just come out and just hop around all these places.
But is it more of a summer destination, or would you say it's better to walk around there during the winter?
That's a good question, because I think if you go to Denmark, there's two ways of looking at it, obviously. You know, if you want to be outside and do lots of walking around the parks and you want to enjoy that terrace sort of veranda life, then yes. But if I was going to go there, I would choose autumn or the spring, just as it's still a little bit cold. Because I think when you go to Scandinavian countries, you want to get some of that chilly atmosphere, you know, when the lights come on and it's twinkly lights and you want those cozy bars. I mean, we must have said the word cozy 100 times on this trip. You know, all these places are... They've got big sort of velvet sofas and twinkly lights and candles. So I think it works better as a winter destination. Now, true, of course, if it's really cold, then you're going to struggle to walk around because you'll just get, you know, we had to abort a couple of walks here and there because it was just too cold. But yeah, I reckon October would be the perfect time.
Right. So that's Copenhagen. Put that one in your list of places to go. Now, I know you found a hero quite recently, Rob, and one that really is well worth a mention on the show.
Yeah, Noah Galloway. He was an American soldier who lost his leg and arm in an IED explosion in Iraq in 2005. And he was shipped out of the army and he came back to America and was rehabbed for I think, a couple of years.
Yeah.
And then decided to embark on a new stage of his life, and he became a motivational speaker. Mm. He's written inspiring books about how to overcome adversity, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also become an ultra athlete.
Wow.
So I spoke to Noah because he's an ambassador for Tough Mudder.
Oh,
are you
yeah.
aware of Tough Mudder? So these extreme obstacle races yeah. happen all around the world for the last 7 or 8 years.
Intense.
And he's done, I think, 13 Tough Mudders. He's done a few half marathons as well. And there's great photos that he showed me of, you know, he's lost his arm and a leg, and he's on the kind of the monkey bars, you know, up above you.
Yeah.
And he's sort of hanging on with one elbow here and his leg's up there, and he's shuffling himself along these monkey bars to get to the other side of the water trap, you know. So I had a chat with him because Tough Mudder is coming up in December 8th and 9th in Dubai. So tickets are still available if you want to go and hurl yourself around a 5 kilometer muddy obstacle course. But he was a great guy, and he travels a lot around the world. So I thought I'd talk to him about travel, actually, as well as some of his more inspirational stories. But he told me a great story about how he went trekking in Papua New Guinea once. And he likes to get off the beaten track. You know, he's an ex-soldier, so he's got the adventurous spirit, obviously. Yeah. And so he went to Papua New Guinea, and he went up this mountain. He got a helicopter to drop him off, a little tiny plane in the middle of nowhere. And these people came out from the local village and looking at this guy. He's got a prosthetic leg. And they'd never seen anything like that before, so they were extremely curious. And they made contact, and they made friends, and Noah went off to do a hike up this mountain. And he didn't want any help, you know, he's not that kind of guy. But the villagers saw him and they sort of joined him on the trek because they were really curious to see how he was going to trek up this mountain with only one arm, one leg. And so they went ahead of him, and instead of yanking him up or pulling him or, you know, giving him a piggyback, they just stuck wooden poles in the ground once in a while on this very muddy surface to help Noah drag himself up.
Oh, wow.
So it was just the right amount of help. So, you know, Noah said... it was that they didn't interfere with his hike.
No,
they just helped
him
along the way. So I thought that was pretty interesting. He's been around all the world and all this, seen these war zones. So I said to him, what have you learnt about the human race or people? And he said, well, I've been to a lot of terrible places, seen a lot of war zones, seen some awful things. But ultimately, you know, people are people and people are good. And if you travel, people will help you. So I thought that was a
great
nice,
words.
Inspiring message. Yeah.
Just for Boys.
Yeah, Rob Chilton from, once again, Edgar Magazine joins us at Just for Boys and takes a look at some things that the lads might be up for doing. A little bit of food wouldn't go astray, Rob.
Are you hungry? Do you want to talk about food?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Let's talk about food. All right, Japanese food. How's that?
That'll do for me.
A restaurant called Katsuya, okay? And it is in the Jumeirah Al Nassim Hotel. And I've jotted down a few things you need to know.
Okay.
For example, great for guys because there's a T-Rex... and a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
Is that on the menu?
In the restaurant. It's a bit tough, yeah, yeah. So they're in there. They've been spray painted gold. They're standing on the sushi counter and the bar. So that's a good talking point. It comes from the chef is Katsuya Uechi. Now, he kind of created the Los Angeles sushi scene in the mid-1980s.
Right.
Okay, so he is a major, not celebrity chef, because that's a horrible phrase, but he created a movement. Okay, so when all these LA restaurants popped up serving sushi and it was a real craze, he's the guy that started it, pretty much. Okay, his name is Katsuya Uechi. So it's his restaurant. There's a California roll on the menu. There's a Hollywood roll. So it all harks back to his time in LA. Uechi says it can take 10 years to become a sushi chef, to master the craft.
Wow.
So if you do those sushi classes that you could do in Dubai and you think you've cracked it after a couple of hours, no.
No.
You've got about 9 more years to go, I'm afraid. One of the dishes on the menu I suggest you have is crispy rice topped with a spicy tuna. This is 59 dirhams.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually been patented by the chef, because it's his sort of trademark shape. He's that influential, okay? And also on the menu is the miso black cod, which is another famous dish of his. It's been marinated in miso for 48 hours, and that is 199 dirhams. A sushi roll is about 59, it's like 60, 65. It's in the Jumeirah Al Nassim Hotel. It's a beautiful restaurant in separate sections. There's a bar area, there's a restaurant, there's a sushi bar, there's another bar around the corner, loads of Japanese symbols and flags. It's very, very bright. It's on the Turtle Lagoon there at the hotel.
Nice.
It's a really great spot, proper food from a proper star chef.
And if you complain, they feed you to the T-Rex. Right, let's get on to my spraying.
Grooming.
Yeah,
right,
let's get grooming. Here we go.
I want to take you back to 1993 and the famous Calvin Klein Obsession adverts with Kate Moss.
Oh,
okay, remember those iconic
legendary
adverts? So in a nutshell, Calvin Klein have gone back to the archives and they've looked at this Obsession fragrance and they've created a new fragrance for men called Obsessed.
Oh.
Okay, they just changed a couple of letters. Probably saved loads of money in the graphic designer bill.
Yeah.
So it's Calvin Klein Obsessed. It's inspired by a memory of a past love, they say.
I've had a few of them.
And that bottle there, Mark, is 125 mils. That is 395 dirhams.
Right, I'm just going to give it a little spray
so
on
have a
my
squirt.
Neck area and on my wrist.
Now, as I said, I reckon, Shruti, you might like this because it's pretty unisex, as Calvin Klein fragrances tend to be.
Yeah.
Right.
What do you think?
CK.
You do? You're a fan? Oh, CK1, yeah. Right.
It's nice and fresh. It's nice and fresh. I like it.
You think male, female, it works for either?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, okay.
It's definitely more male. Give me that bottle back.
Give me some flavours. What are you getting here? What notes are you getting?
Ooh, am I getting some lemon?
Almost.
Lime?
Grapefruit.
Okay.
We're looking for grapefruit.
Yeah.
Something woody as well.
Well, cardamom, maybe black pepper. Mm. That's on the list there as well. That sort of spicy woodiness, earthy like smells. And last one. I think this one is the biggest one, this last note.
It smells familiar, but I can't
sort
place
of a
it.
Cream, I mean, a hint creamy, softy,
okay,
milky.
Yeah,
we're not good at this.
Vanilla. Oh. There you go.
Like a vanilla ice cream.
That's
woody, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess it's in that ballpark, in the realm of woods and botanicals. Yeah, so I'll give you that. So Calvin Klein Obsessed. 395 dirhams for a 125ml bottle. Maybe put it on your Christmas list.
Sounds good. Now, we've just got time for a little bit of man wisdom. Then we're going.
I found my new favourite guy. He's sadly passed away years and years ago. He was a silent movie actor and a newspaper columnist and humorist and writer. He's called Will Rogers. And he was a very wise guy. He said many wise things. But I particularly like this phrase of his, which was, "Never let yesterday use up too much of today."
Mm-hmm. Nice. I like
that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, don't dwell on what's gone.
Don't dwell. Just move on.
Don't dwell on it. What? We'll move on. Rob, you've been amazing. Fabulous to have you on the show again.
Thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
We shall see you soon.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.